week. Well, that depends on your style. Some people say, I don't want to leave the office till I've planned my week for next week. So they'll do it on Friday and actually schedule time. And a lot of the companies we work with, they want to make sure everyone has laid out at least their professional plan, their professional opus for the following week before they leave. So they schedule time on Friday where it's block time, where everyone works on their plans for next week, and then they meet with their supervisors or managers, and they review, here are my outcomes for next week, here's my purposes, here's how I'm going after it, are these the priorities you think I should be going after? And what happens is it allows people to stop overloading employees, and also people start getting things done because they're not focused on activity, they're focused on results. And a lot of the companies we work with now actually link profit sharing and actually link bonuses directly to their ability to produce results, not just produce movement, not just produce activity. And they measure it on a weekly basis. And managers are seen as being responsible for getting this job done. Now you might say, okay, that doesn't matter, Tony. I'm not in business. That's just for me. Well, then the answer is, when's best for you? Is it best to do it on a morning or an evening for you? When are you at your best? Some people are morning people. Some people are evening people. Just like daily planning, same thing. Do it at your best time. Number two, lock in the time and don't change it. Keep it consistent. For me, it's Sunday afternoons. I like to go through my weekend, ideas flow, I'm capturing things all the time, and when I come to Sunday afternoon, that's when I hit it. That's when I want to do my actual plan. Now, how do you plan? Four stages. You don't sit down and do an OPA, because this is a chance for you to focus on your life, on creating your dreams into reality. And you don't want to just write down a vision one time in your life and then maybe look at it once every 6 months. You want to do this at least weekly. You don't want to write down all these categories and goals and then never look at them again. Then they're an absolute waste. These are the elements we're going to focus on for a few minutes before we actually write down a weekly plan. Because we want our plan to reflect what we want from our life, right? Not just be caught up in the moment of our concerns or fears or excitements, etc. And by the way, this weekly planning process, I call it the hour of power, as I've already said earlier. It might be more than an hour for you when you're brand new at it, especially. Or if you're managing several companies, you're planning probably a lot of different things or a department. But for most people, an hour or less is enough time, especially after you get good at it. You'll know yourself. You'll know what you're after. Here's how it works. Four stages. In stage number one, it'll take you about 5 or 10 minutes to do this first stage. It's really simple. Connect to your driving force. What does that mean? The drive inside of us to go forth and make our life work comes from having a vision. So this is where you take 5 minutes, maybe 10, and you sit down and you read your vision statement that you're going to write today. You're going to write down what is it you ultimately want for your life, and you'll probably enhance it as the days go by. What's your vision for your life? Who do you want to be? How do you want to live? What do you want to stand for? How do you want your life to be experienced? And what's your ultimate purpose? Why do you want all that? Why are you here on earth? And this isn't the perfect answer. We don't know exactly why, mostly. Most of us don't know exactly why, so we don't need a perfect answer here. We need the answer that's at a gut level for you. What's the drive inside of you? And then we're going to look at what is your code of conduct, or what are some of the values or virtues? And again, this is not something that's done perfectly. This is about getting your big vision. So you might do this for 5 minutes. Then you go to stage two. In stage two, you own your categories, your roles, and your goals. Because what we want to do now is we want to remember, hey, I'm managing this life. This life means a lot to me. If something matters, I want to manage it, direct it, shape it, and celebrate its victories. So to do that, I got to remember, here are my personal categories of improvement. What are they? How am I doing here? What are my absolute visions here? What's my purpose here? And what are my 1 year and quarterly goals for each of these? And you just review them very quickly. So your brain remembers, this is what I'm after. This is my real outcome. Not the wall I'm facing at the office or the challenge. My vision, my goals, and then you're going to do the same thing for your professional categories. Now, that might take you 10 minutes. Right now, you got 15 minutes, maybe 20 max invested in this process. You could do both of them in 5 or 10 together if you wanted to. It's up to you. How much time do you want to spend? I like to spend time really envisioning. I take more than an hour because I really believe that most of what I have experienced in my life has come because I go into this mode where I stop and I create it. I create it in my mind. I make it so vividly clear. Kind of like when I had you do that experience of turning as far as you could, remember? And then closing your eyes and going further in your mind again and again. Till when you went to do it physically, your body went 25, 30% further. I do this on a weekly basis, and sometimes I do it on a daily basis. When I was first building my career, when I didn't have what I really wanted for my life, both personally and professionally, I did this literally every day. I'd spend an hour doing nothing but envisioning what I wanted and making it so real that I had absolute certainty I could make it happen. And I sometimes remind myself of that and say, my gosh, I need to do that even more because today I have so much of my life that I envision. I got to create the next level and give it the same emotional juice. Does that make sense? It makes no sense to sit down with your to-do list without taking the time to remember what your life's about. Now, third stage. Third stage is the actual physical planning of the week. Now, before you plan this week, we want to learn from the past. So in the third stage, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to write down a list of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 of your top accomplishments from the previous week. And when I say accomplishments, things you achieved. Now, this does not have to be earth-shattering. It just means something you're proud you accomplished, you achieved, something that was really important, you got done, a result, not an action item. And I'll tell you what, you're going to find there's a lot more you're accomplishing than you realize that you're not giving yourself credit for. I want to remind you of something I've talked about before again, and that is you can be winning and feel like you're losing if you don't keep score. And I'll tell you something, I do this every week. This is something I'm religious about. I write down those top 10 or 12, that's what it is for me virtually every week. And I'll tell you what I end up having by the end of the year. I have a list of 5 or sometimes 600 of the most important accomplishments of my entire year. I mean, that feels pretty like you've had an amazing year, plus it gives you a great memory. You don't forget the great things you've achieved. Now, for me, I do one other thing. I write down not only what I accomplish, but I write down what I call magic moments, because that's the juice of life. Before I'm going to plan this next week, I better juice myself up about what I did last week, what I really experienced. So, for example, I went to a health spa recently, and while I was there, there were all these great magic moments. I saw a friend of mine named Ben Vereen, who's an entertainer. I hadn't seen him in a long time. He's a great guy. And so there's several magic moments. So instead of just saying, I went to this health institute, and I lost 12 pounds, I increased my muscle mass X, that's great. I did that. That was accomplishments. But then I had these magic moments, laughing with Ben Vereen, a conversation where there was a joke where we talked about cancel. And some of the things that happened there that made me laugh, that made me smile, that made me feel great. The day we left there, I went to the Four Seasons, and how happy we were to leave this regimen to go to something really fun and warm. Like these little moments. And so what I end up having at the end of the year also is I have all these magic moments, this great set of memories. People say, oh, I'm worried about losing my memory. Well, maybe that's because you're not using your brain. Well, see, our brain stores everything we've ever seen, heard, tasted, touched, or smelled. It's all in our brain. But it's a different process for storing than retrieving. If right after you have an experience, you remember, you make yourself pull back out what you just learned or what you just experienced, if you retrieve it while it's still in short-term memory, you develop a system for retrieving that memory later on. Forget all that stuff. It feels good. It feels darn good to be able to look at your week and go, wow, that was an amazing week. I mean, that was worth all the time and energy and effort I put into it. And I'll tell you something. I look forward to doing this every single week. Now, wouldn't that be great for you, too? And by the way, isn't that different than sitting down and making another to-do list for next week and wondering why the last week didn't all get done? Now, so in the learning from last week, minimum you want to do is write down your accomplishments. If you want to be crazy like me, write down the magic moments. But that's A of number one. B is also write down what didn't get done. Now, I don't mean action items. If there's some major outcomes that you'd planned out for the previous week, write down they didn't get done and the why. Because this will show you, if you do this week after week after week, that this is something you got to attack and master. Does that make sense? Now, if we learn from the past as stage number three, that's number one step. Number two step, we're going to look at our projects. And we're going to say, okay, on my projects, are there any of these things I need to make sure I work on this week? So you look at your project and go, you know, yeah, my project for the business in this area of building a new sales team, I need to make sure this week I spend time talking to the recruiter. That's one of the outcomes I had, is to meet with a recruiter and resolve our plan for recruiting these new salespeople. So what you're going to do is in the capture section of your week, here's what you're going to do. You're going to write down, see recruiter, outcome number 4, project salespeople, whatever it's called. So you don't have to rewrite the whole thing. The elbow block's already there, and you'll write it down there. So you do that real quick. You just glance at your projects. Because some of you may be wondering, because a lot of times people wonder, okay, I got these projects, how do I plan my week? Well, when you go to plan your week, learn from last week, figure out what you did successfully, what you didn't do, then look at your projects, see what should be inserted in this week. Now, the third step. Remember, there's 4 steps to this third stage. Third step is you create your OPA plan. How? Number one, you capture. You look at what you've already captured and say, what else do I need to do this week? Who else do I need to call? What are the results do I need to get? Anything in your mind, you just dump, and load up the capture section. So then what you do is you turn these into OPA blocks. How do you do that? You answer those 3 questions. You look at your capture list, and you say, okay, this massive list, I'm not going to get overwhelmed by it. Let me ask myself this question. what is one of the most important outcomes I need to accomplish next week? And you'll say, you know what? One of the most important outcomes is X. I need to do this with my family. Or one of the most important outcomes is I need to accomplish this with my business. Or one of the most important outcomes is, and you'll get better at this. In the beginning, you'll go, I don't know. This is hard. But pretty soon, there aren't that many outcomes. And by the way, let me give you a little secret. Wouldn't it make sense to help you organize your life if you looked at your categories when you planned your week? See, what I've done is I've typed out a list of my professional categories and my personal categories on one page. So I look at that and I say, okay, when I'm doing my captures, I'll say, what are some of the most important outcomes in X category? So one of my categories is chairman of the Anthony Robbins companies. So I'll say, what are some of the most important results I need to accomplish this week for the Anthony Robbins companies? I'll say, well, you know what? I have to make sure that we get our catalog out this week. I have to write my editor's letter, and I have to approve the final copy for everything else. So I write that down in my capture. What else do I have to accomplish as chairman of the Anthony Robbins companies? And I'll do that. Then I'll get down to another category. As a creator of life-changing products, what are my most important outcomes this week? And I'll say, you know what? I need to complete the More Time audio program. I'll say, okay, great. That's a very important outcome. And so what will happen is I'll then go to another category, my personal life, and I'll say, what is my most important outcome in my physical body this week? And having done that makes it a lot easier to make your plan. Can you see that? So then when I'm saying, okay, step two, I'm looking at my capture list. What is one of the most important outcomes that I need to accomplish this week? I'll say, well, it's really simple. As part of the Anthony Robbins companies, one of the most important outcomes is to complete the Anthony Robbins catalog and have it mailed on time. See, that's a specific outcome, not just an action item like approved copy. The truth is I want to make sure the thing gets done and it's out on time. Why? Because it'll connect us with millions of our customers. What are my action items? Number one, brainstorm the outline of my letter from the editor. Number two, write the letter from the editor, because those are two different things. Number three, review all other copy and approve. Number four, make any final corrections. Number five, meet with marketing and make sure this is mailed on time. So that's my little OPA block. Do you follow me on that? And I'll say, what's the next most important outcome this week? And I'll come up with that one. And what I do is I'll convert, on average, maybe 125 action items or more into me for about 12, maybe 14 outcomes. Now, I'm a crazy person running a bunch of companies. I'll tell you, the average person has at least 75 to-dos. You say, Tony, I don't have that many in a week. Oh, I bet you do. How about try this? If all you make are 25 phone calls in a week, 25 phone calls in a week is just 5 calls a day, 5 days a week. Most people make more than 5 phone calls. And then if you look at all the other to-dos, picking up your cleaning, you know, following up with John Smith, having a meeting, planning something, creating something, visiting with a person, I guarantee you that you've got at least 7 of those a day. If that's all you had, you'd have 75 different action items, to-do lists. Those will convert easily into 7, 8, 9, or 10 outcomes. And by the way, which is easier to remember and manage? 75 individual unrelated items or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 outcomes? The answer is obvious, isn't it? So all you're going to do is you know how to do an OPA planning. You'll do your OPA plan for the week. So what have we done? Let's recapture this in our mind. What was stage number one at the very top? Connect to your driving force. You're going to stop, read, and think about. Close your eyes and envision your ultimate vision for your life, your ultimate purpose, how you want to live your life, the way you're going to live, your code of conduct, your values, your virtues. If nothing else, what your vision is and what your purpose is. Two, stage two. Go to the one at 3 o'clock in your mind. In that stage, what are you going to do? You're going to own, really associate, feel, and own your categories, your roles, and your goals. You're going to look at what your vision is, your purpose is within each of those in your personal and professional life. You're going to look at what your one-year goals are, what your quarterly goals are. Stage three, you're going to create your weekly plan. How are you going to do that? Number one, learn from the past. What are you going to do? Quickly, you're going to write down the top 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 12 things you accomplished last week and really feel the victory. Maybe you're going to write down some of the magic moments, things that made you smile, laugh, feel good, little things, big things, great things that capture the juice of your life, basically. B, as part of number one, is you'll write down things you didn't accomplish. So you know this week, I need to put that on my capture list to handle it. Step two, within stage three, when you're making your weekly plan, look at your projects. What are the things I need to make sure I do this week? Are there some things that need to be part of that capture list? Step three, create your weekly OPA plan. One, capture it. Two, create your OPA blocks. I gave you a way to do that by looking at your categories to stimulate your thinking. Three, commit. By the way, here's how that works. If you have the sheet in front of you, you'll see a commit sheet. On the left side, it has a set of lines. And what you do in that left side is you write down an outcome. Now, by the way, there's not a lot of room there. So if you remember, when you do an OPA, if I do my week, I might end up with 12 or 14 OPA blocks. I number them, so they're easy to remember what they are. And sometimes I create a keyword for them. So I write down outcome number one, OPA block number one, which is make major progress on my infomercial. I'll say outcome number one, infomercial. And then I say, okay, what days am I going to work on this? And I go, on Monday, I'll work on it for 2 hours. On Thursday, I'll work on it for an hour. Then I look at outcome number two, and I write it down. And it's to make major progress on my physical body. And I say, I'm going to do that for an hour a day every day. And I write an hour on Monday, an hour on Tuesday, one HR all the way across. And you'll see that sample. And then I come up with the next one. And what's nice about that is you can add them up, or if you have the computer software, it does it for you. And you'll see on one day you have 22 hours booked, and another one you have 3 hours. So before you schedule things, you'll have the big picture. And you'll say, no, I need to move a few of these things before I ever go to planning my days. Remember when I told you earlier that you'd understand more about committing when we got to the weekly planning process? If you look at that sheet, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Now, again, if you've been listening to me verbally, you're probably confused. So just look at the sheet later on. You'll understand it, okay? And then what do you have to commit? You schedule it. How do you schedule things? Real simple. You look at Monday on your commit sheet. And you say, I'm going to work on outcome number one, number four, number seven on Monday. You turn to Monday, the 7th of whatever month it is, and you write in the capture sheet, outcome number one from the week, outcome number four, and outcome number seven. You close the book and forget about it. When you get to that day, you look up outcome one, four, and seven. You'll say, do I want to do these? What else did I say I wanted to do or accomplish? What are my most important outcomes? And you write them out then for the day. You don't plan your days when you're planning your weeks. It'd be overwhelming. Besides that, you're not there yet. You just take the things from your week and commit them to the capture of certain days. I'm running through this very rapidly. If you're confused about it, please turn to your manual. It'll be very, very simple. Or if you have your video there, it's even easier. It'll walk you through the weekly planning process real clearly because we use graphics and we show you each step of the way. Now, what you do is you go through each day. So, for example, you'll then look at Tuesday and say, okay, I've laid out on Tuesday. You'll glance at it. When you're all done, you'll say, I said I was going to work on outcome 7, number 9, and number 10. You turn to Tuesday, the 8th of the month, and you write down in the capture section, outcome 7, 9, and 10. And it'll take you a couple of minutes to do that. Guess what will happen now? When you turn to your days, in your capture section, when you're going to go plan the actual day, when that day comes, you'll have three things or four things that are outcomes that are in your weekly planner. And you'll know to look those up and say, I want to work on these this day. Anything else you've captured will be in front of you. And then when you get to the day, you'll say, do I really want to do this today? What are my most important outcomes for this day? All right? So then you'll accomplish the whole process. Now, the final part of stage three is that you want to make sure out of all the outcomes, all the stuff I've just talked about, what you want to look at is you want to look at that list and say, what are the top three things for me? What are the top three outcomes for the whole week? Or maybe if you're aggressive, the top five. You know, what are my top three, maybe for my professional life, and maybe my top two for my personal life? So if all heck broke loose, and I just accomplished these three results this week, that'd be one heck of a week. So you're not pressured. You're not going to achieve all these outcomes every time. But if you're doing this, I can promise you one thing, you're going to make more progress than anybody around you ever dreamed of. Does that make sense? When you've done that, you finish stage three. You say, Tony, this seems so cumbersome. Cumbersome to describe, easy to do. The more you do it, the better you get, the faster it goes. Pretty soon, it's like writing your name with half as many letters. What's the final stage? Stage four, set yourself up to win. What does that mean? It means that, number one, you've got to schedule what I call your profound musts. What I mean by that is, out of all the things on your list, you picked your top two or three. You need to lock those into your calendar. Otherwise, what will happen is things will show up and they'll fill up your schedule. And even though you have good intent, you won't achieve it. So you say, you know what? I'm going to block out the time on Tuesday from noon to 2 o'clock in the afternoon to get this thing done. I'm going to schedule it right now so that when someone says, can you meet on Tuesday at 12 o'clock? You say, no, I have an appointment there. Because it's a profound must that's locked in place. Remember, I've said it again. If you talk about it, it's a dream. Right? If you envision it, it's exciting. If you plan it, it's possible. But when you schedule it, it is real. And if we schedule in those profound musts, those top three, four, five things, and we lock them into your schedule, you will get them done. You'll get the result you're after. I'll give you an example of this. One week, my daughter, who was living in New York at the time, was coming back to San Diego, to La Jolla. And I knew she was only going to be home for a couple of days. and I really want to spend some time with her. And I knew she wanted to spend some time with me because she had some specific things she wanted to address in her career, in her finances, and plus we just wanted to hang out together. So I thought, oh my gosh, my week is going to get so maxed. I've already got people calling wanting to meet with me on every single day. So I called her up and I said, when do you want to meet, honey? And she said, well, you know what? Let's meet as soon as I get off the plane because I really want to meet with you. I want to do this right away. I said, okay, you got it. I said, we'll work on the stuff. We'll get it resolved. And we locked it in. Now, why was that important? Because otherwise, before I know it, she's only there for 2 days, I would have booked half my time. And next thing you know, we'd been stressed. We wouldn't have locked in the time to be together. But there's another part of setting yourself up to win. And that's step two within that stage. And that's to anticipate the likely challenges and the barriers that are going to show up that week and resolve a strategy to be successful even if they show up. All this is being smart. One plan is not good enough. When it comes down to the most important things, you better have a backup plan. So I thought, what could screw this up? And I thought, you know what's going to happen? Chotley's going to fly for 6.5 hours from New York, right? And what's going to happen? She's going to get off that plane and she's going to be beat up and tired. And she's not going to feel like meeting. And I've locked out this time for 3 hours with her. And the rest of my schedule is going to be booked solid. And she's not going to want to meet. She's going to say, well, do you think we can meet later? And I don't want her to feel uncomfortable. So I thought, you know what I need to do? I need to have a backup plan. I need to find another time for this meeting. She's only there for 2 days. So I called her back and I said, are you sure you really want to meet right when you get off the plane? You're not going to feel like it. And she said, no, I really want to meet right afterwards. I said, honey, I don't think after 6 hours you're going to do that. She said, no, trust me, I will meet with you absolutely. I said, okay, you're locked in my calendar. And I kept her locked in. But I then picked up the phone and I called somebody in my office that I had a meeting with the following day in the afternoon. I said, listen, I'd like to get your help on something. I said, we were going to meet on Friday, right? She said, yeah. And I said, at 2 o'clock? She said, yeah. I said, how about, what does your schedule look like on Thursday at 2 o'clock? She said, actually, I could do that if you wanted to change it. I said, I don't want to change it. I just want to keep an option open. And I'll do the same favor for you later. I said, my daughter's coming into town. She wants to meet with me right away, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think she's going to be burnt out. So is it possible I can call you at noon that day and say, well, let's get together and let's do the meeting today and move it up one day? Is that too short a notice? She goes, no, I could do that. I said, that's great. I said, otherwise, we're on for Friday. Is that fair? She said, great. Just let me know. So sure enough, my daughter got off the plane. She was totally bushed. She looked at me and she goes, I guess we're going to meet on that stuff, huh? I said, I told you you wouldn't want to do it. She goes, well, I just, you know, maybe we could wait like an hour and a half or 2 hours. I said, honey, no problem. How about we don't even do it today? Why don't you recover, relax, sit by the pool, go down to the ocean? And I said, we'll meet on it tomorrow. We'll have dinner tonight, but we'll have our meeting tomorrow to go through these numbers and break all the stuff down for your career and for your finances. She said, oh, my God, that'd be so great. Guess what? I got my profound muss because I was smart enough not only to schedule it, but to anticipate the challenges. And I'm telling you, that's how you make your life work. So let's quickly review. It sounds like a lot. Here's how fast it really is. Boom. I'm going to plan my week. I got a specific time I'm going to do it. It's my hour of power. Maybe a little bit longer for me, especially in the beginning. But hey, I'm planning 168 hours of my life. I'm planning what matters to me, my life, this next week. So how do I do it? Step one, connect to my driving force. What do you do there? Quick, get your ultimate vision, your ultimate purpose. Think about why you're doing all this, what your life is really about. 5 minutes, envision it, think about it, picture it, feel it, get associated. Just like everything else in your life that you've turned into reality, it started with that dream and desire. Stage two, enter in and own your categories, roles, and goals. What are you doing? Read them. Envision them. Take a look at your vision, your mission, your goals for each of these categories. Just take the time to do it. Maybe it's 10 minutes. We've got maybe 10 or 15 minutes we've invested total. But we're focusing on what we really want and why we want it most. Does it make sense? And if you keep doing that on a weekly basis and you put real emotion into it, you're going to get it. You're going to drive towards what you want instead of what you fear. Stage three, four steps. We want to make sure we create a weekly plan to do it. Number one, we learn from the past. Top 10 goals. Maybe some magic moments. Anything we didn't accomplish last week so we can work on it. Two, review our projects. What do we need to work on this week? Three, create our weekly OPA plan. How? 5 steps. Capture. Create the OPA plan. Commit. Right? Schedule it. And then, of course, manage it throughout the week and celebrate it. Step four, pick out of all these OPA blocks, pick your top three. Maybe your top 5, 3 for your professional life, 2 for your personal life. Stage 4, set yourself up to win. Out of those top 2 or 3, figure out what time you're going to lock in that nothing else can interrupt, that you're going to get these 3 things done. Or these 5 things done, if that's what you want to do. Anticipate any challenges and handle them. Wasn't that a lot faster that time? took about 60 seconds, maybe 2 minutes to describe it. And you know what? To do it, it'll take about an hour. Does that make sense? Is that better than just reacting to the environment? You bet it is. So finally, here's what I want you to do. Before you go plan a week, and by the way, how would you plan your week right now? You'd start with your vision. You might say, Tony, I don't know what my vision is. Sure you do. I'm going to just take a couple minutes with you right now, and I don't want you to make this life and death. People say to themselves, like, what if I come up with the wrong vision or the wrong purpose of my life? I don't word it very well. I'll lose my whole life. Listen, if you don't have a vision now written down, what's the difference? Don't make it into a big deal. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and all I want you to do is maybe put on a favorite piece of music, put it on the background, and write down or just look at the card, and I want you to answer the questions that are on your card. And all you want to do, though, to do this is put yourself in a great state. So if you've been sitting still while you've been listening to me, I get up and I take a quick walk, or I breathe, or I do a few jumping jacks. I put myself in a peak state. I get excited. You know how you feel when you anticipate something really great's going to happen? Here's what we're going to do real quickly. We're going to come up with two things on this tape. And on tape 10, we'll go through your code of conduct. I'll explain what that is, meaning the way you really want to live your life from that perspective and what we call power virtues. What I want you to do is come up with two things, really. What's your ultimate vision? Like, who are you going to be as a person? What are you going to stand for? And why do you want to be this person in life? Because that'll help you to fill in this first gap of your driving force. You might say, well, Tony, where do I put this in my planner? Well, there's a driving force section right at the very beginning. And all you have to do is put a little piece of paper in there and write this out. Or you can type it out later. Right now, you can just put it in your journal or your workbook, because I'm sure you're going to refine this. So I want you to fill these two out. When we're done with this, when you've done your vision and you've done your ultimate purpose, I want you to plan a week. And don't worry about being perfect again. Simple. Just think about your vision. You don't have to write it perfectly. Picture, what do I want for my life? What do I want to accomplish? Who do I want to stand for? Who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? What do I want to give? Why do I want to do this? What do I think the purpose of my life is? What's my mission? Why was I put here? Why do I want to be this kind of person? What will it give me? What kind of feelings and emotions will this give me? Then I want you to go to stage two. I want you to review your categories. And I know you've got categories for your personal and professional life. So read those categories, and hopefully you've gone through and at least done three things there. You've got an ultimate vision for the category, an ultimate purpose, and at least a one-year goal, and hopefully a couple one-year goals. So I want you to read those. And eventually, if you don't have it, you've got to turn those one-year goals into quarterly goals, and each of those will be broken down into OPA blocks or projects if they're big. Now, by the way, if you have the software, the OPA software, it does this for you automatically. It guides you through each one of these stages. You fill in your categories. It asks you for your roles. It asks you for what is your ultimate vision, your ultimate purpose. It says, okay, what are your one-year goals and what are your 90-day goals? And then it causes you to make those into OPA blocks or projects. And then those are directed directly into weeks or days as soon as you decide when you want to do things. So it's available for you in a couple forms. All I want you to do today is I want you to plan it. So stage one, we're going to have you create your vision and your mission for your life. Stage two, you're going to look at your categories, whatever condition they're in, and your goals. Stage three, you're going to write down, what'd you learn last week? What'd you accomplish? What'd you achieve? You're going to write down, what did you fail to achieve? You're going to look at the projects you have, and you're going to plan your week. Capture it all, create it into OPA blocks. That'll take the most time initially because you're new at it. Commit to when you're going to do it, and get those things, those commitments into days. Write down the days you're going to actually work on those OPA blocks. That's all you got to do. Then pick your top three, schedule them, and anticipate any challenges and come up with a solution. Okay? Again, seems like a lot. I've said it two or three times to start kind of driving it into your mind, but pretty soon this will be second nature for you. You'll just be doing it automatically. And again, you'll be reinforced by the incredible results you'll have by having a week where you know your top three or five outcomes, where you aren't running around with a to-do list anymore. So those are your assignments. Two assignments. Ultimate vision, ultimate purpose. Second assignment, plan your week. And by the way, if you want some examples of how to plan your week or what a great week looks like, all you got to do is get up on the World Wide Web and look at our OPA site. You'll see several of these. Or come to one of the seminars and watch me take someone who is totally, completely overwhelmed out of their mind and watch them 45 minutes later, an hour later, where they go, heck, that's easy. What I thought was going to take me forever is going to take me a lot less time. I made these things so much bigger in my head than they really needed to be. I can handle this week, and I'm going to achieve more than I ever did before. That's the kind of thing that happens when you start doing this process. So ultimately, what we want to start with is, what is your ultimate vision for who you are as a person and what you stand for? I call that your identity. So I'll just give you an example of my own, and I'm not suggesting this is the right one for anyone. This is just for me. I wrote down, I'm an extraordinary loving man who loves God, people, family, friends, ideas that make a difference. I love to discover, to create. I love nature, mountains, oceans, streams, sunshine, rain. I'm a passionate man who takes life's good and magnifies it and shares it openly, lovingly, passionately, and playfully with others. I'm a source of massive inspiration to millions of people. I'm someone you can count on to do the right thing. I'm an instigator of good, of joy, of good works, of creativity, of higher standards. I'm a creator of possibilities, of options, of solutions, of choices, of visions. I'm a creator of magic moments. I'm an example of what's possible. I'm an outstanding father, friend, strategist, marketer, businessman, student, teacher, husband, speaker, writer, visionary, strategic planner, therapist, synthesizer, and I'm extremely humble. I'm fun, right? And I'm a mover and shaker of possibility. I am a grateful man. I'm an athlete. I'm a force for good. I am a force for God. I'm a playful kid who will make you smile. These are the identities for myself. This is part of my vision for how I want to live my life. So I want you to first describe, who are you? What do you stand for? And by the way, I'm talking about, who are you when you're at your best? Not when you're beating yourself up. Not when you're realizing what you're not accomplishing. Who are you at your best? Who are you really inside? Write down your paragraph right now. Welcome back. Now, let's enhance that vision. Let's add to it. What is your ultimate vision? What's the ultimate result you want from your life? Who do you want to be in even more detail? Who are you going to become? So I put down, for me, I want to be a person who is truly a leader in the world, somebody who impacts tens of millions of people's lives through his incredible vision, determination, courage, compassion, creativity, and commitment to constantly improving the quality of people's lives worldwide. And then describe each of the specific results I want to see from my life. I want you to write down, not only now, who are you and what do you stand for, but what else can you describe? What do you want to accomplish in your life? Write that down. What do you want to achieve ultimately in your life? What do you want to give? What do you want to create? What specific results do you want your life to reflect? So start out with the general ones as I did, and then come up with your specifics. Do that next. Turn off the tape. Do it now. Okay, one final question. Ultimately, why are you doing all this? What's your ultimate purpose in life? Why are you here? Mine is to humbly serve our Lord by being a loving, powerful, and passionate example of the unlimited possibilities that life offers to any of us the moment we acknowledge and rejoice in our Creator's gifts and sincerely love and serve all His creations. See, that's just what drives me. What drives you? Why do you want to do this? And I put, what drives me is also under my purpose. I wrote down love, friendship, making a difference, impact, connection, doing significant things that improve the quality of life, laughter, fun, growth, choices, improving, beauty, desire, being the best I can possibly be, supporting. And I add another one, sex. So when you write down your purpose, write down, why ultimately are you here on earth? And what really drives you? What are some of the emotions that will drive you? This will help you to discover your true driving force. When you're done with this, you're done with this tape. So go ahead and do that now, and then I will see you tomorrow for session number 9 of the 10 days. You are coming down to the final stages. You are going to be one fast-track strategic planner, a master of not only your time, but your life. Till tomorrow, I'll look forward to seeing you then. Go out, create your plan, finish your vision, finish your ultimate purpose. And I'll see you tomorrow for our decision-making and problem-solving session. Till then, this is Tony Robbins saying, live with passion.